Hi, everyone, and welcome this morning. My name is Tammy Hollingsworth, president of the Indiana Parents of Blind Children, and we're really excited today to have a guest speaker. Her name is Meredith Howell, and she is the regional director of the Visually Impaired Preschool Services here in Indiana, and she's here to talk to us about their programs and what they do. And I know I was reading on their website, they may have some exciting news to share as far as a new building, maybe. I don't know. And so let's let Meredith take it away. Thank you so much for coming.
Yes, thank you so much for having me today. Can everyone hear me okay on the other end? Okay, great. Thank you for the kind introduction. As Tammy said, my name is Meredith Howell. I'm the regional director for Visually Impaired Preschool Services. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, and we provide vision-specific early intervention to infants and toddlers, so ages birth to three, who are blind or visually impaired. Our mission is to empower families by providing educational excellence to young children with visual impairments in order to build a strong foundation for reaching their highest potential. VIPS here in Indiana actually started because of the love of a child. There was a mom named Rebecca Davis who moved to Indiana from California way back in 2010, and she had this daughter that had pretty profound disabilities, one of which was that she was visually impaired. And she began looking for early intervention services, and she found physical therapy and occupational therapy. But when she was looking for early intervention and for her daughter's visual impairment, she had a really hard time finding anything throughout the entire state of Indiana. So she started, Googling vision services, preschool, and found this nonprofit, Visually Impaired Preschool Services, in Louisville, Kentucky. And so she drove her daughter there, says that from the moment she set foot in the building, she never wanted to leave. And that was because there was this whole center that was for children like her daughter, Eliza, that had a preschool and had a lending library and had teachers of blind and low vision to help, teach Eliza. They weren't training other teachers how to interact and engage with her. Everything they did was to support Rebecca and Eliza. And so Rebecca asked if she could drive her daughter, Eliza, to Louisville, to the VIPS in Louisville, Kentucky, and they said yes. And so for every week for 2 years, she drove her daughter from Bloomington to Louisville and got her the vision-specific intervention that she needed. And rather than keeping it all for herself, she went to the board of directors for VIPS, which VIPS started way back in 1985. So they had been serving kids in Kentucky this entire time and been serving kids in Southern Indiana as well, but never, reached past that immediate border there. So she went to the board of directors, and the board of directors said, yes, our mission knows no borders. And so we will serve children across the state of Indiana. So she and a teacher of blind and low vision named Annie Hughes, which Annie, I'm sure many of you know, she's a fabulous individual. They co-founded VIPS in Indiana together. And so what started out with just eight families in 2011, we've now served over 950 families across the entire state. In fact, in 2019, we served 244 children, which was an increase of 659% in just 8 years, if you can imagine that. Our teachers drove more than 93,000 miles, and we provided over 1,500 home visits to toddlers and their families across Indiana. So we are hardworking. We have been building a network of teachers and interventionists across the state. We have full-time teachers of blind and low vision, and early interventionists that have vision-specific training and background. And we also have contractors that are usually teachers of blind and low vision in the school system, and then, you know, perhaps will take a baby or two for us on their nights or weekends. And so they say that that's their, you know, favorite part of their day is to be able to help serve the babies. And so, you know, obviously this is all very important because 90% of the brain development happens in the first 5 years, and 85% of all of that learning comes through the visual pathways. So, you know, we're the children that we are serving, they are not children that a pair of glasses is going to, you know, it's usually something, a visual impairment that's profound enough that it's affecting their development or their learning. And we, our teachers, go in during the most critical time, which is the early years, so that we can set the foundation and really help support the families early on in the process, because it's, you know, it's not what necessarily what we would expect for our child to be blind or visually impaired. I can say that with assurance, as my daughter is, her name is Lola, and she is 10 years old, and she is visually impaired and has multiple disabilities from a rare genetic disease that is way too long. And if anyone ever really wants to know, you can ask me. But she was one of the first 20 in the world that was diagnosed with this rare genetic disease. And as a result, has a myriad of health challenges. But one, she does have cortical visual impairment, which is the leading cause of visual impairment in children today. Yet it seems to be a visual impairment that no one knows a whole lot about, but it can actually improve with early intervention. It's where the eyes take in the images, but the brain can't interpret what those images are. And so through early intervention and through Annie Hughes and VIPS coming to our home back in 2012, I watched Lola's brain learn how to see. It was nothing short of a miracle to witness that what once was difficult for Lola to, you know, see a very large toy that was right in front of her. She can now run around a building and see an M&M on the floor and pick it up and know that it's an M&M. Do I want her picking an M&M up off the floor and eating it? No, I don't. But I do appreciate that she, that her vision improved so drastically through the early intervention that VIPS provided to my family. Obviously, not all visual impairments are going to improve. In fact, that's the only one that will. But we still need to get in to teach these children how to really tap into their other sensory systems so that they can function in a sighted world. My daughter is, like, as I said, she's now 10 years old. When she aged out at the age of 3 years old, she went to the School for the Blind and the Visually Impaired. And VIP sat in and helped with the case conference and the transition process of Lola going into ISBVI. They really helped advocate for goals during her IEP meeting. And it was just such a cohesive process of having her go into the school system. So I'm so proud that that's one of the things that we always provide for the families, for the children as they age out, is that support as they're going into the school systems. So in addition to the early intervention that we provide, we also have the Parent Empowerment Program, which for me, that was always such a nice way to let my guard down. You know, Lola was the first blind person I ever met. And so she, you know, it's something that, you know, going through, it's not as if, you know, a lot of people, blindness is a low incidence population. And my my friends didn't have children who were blind or had additional challenges. And my sister had my niece, and, you know, she was doing things way before my daughter could, but, you know, it was a bit lonely, if I can be honest. And so to be around other families that understood what it was like to have days filled with going to neurology appointments and therapies and knowing about seizure medications and things like that, it really was nice to just be a mom and not a mom of a child that had such complex needs. So I love our parent empowerment program. We not only snatch the babies out of the arms of their parents with, you know, open minds and open arms. We have teachers that are taking care of them while their parents are learning about everything from, you know, we've had guest speakers talking about special needs, trust planning, or how to access state services, or we also have had blind adults sit on a panel and, you know, what did your parents do when you were younger that you just couldn't stand? Or what is it like being blind as an adult and trying to find employment? Or, you know, so that they're able to talk firsthand to somebody who is blind or visually impaired. We also have our orientation and mobility program. So we have a full-time O&M specialist who puts a cane or pre-cane device into the hands of little ones. We have holiday-themed family events, a lending library with light boxes and braille writers and braille books and large print books. We teach about advocacy. We teach that you can go to the state house and advocate on behalf of your child, that you can write your legislator. We do a lot of lobbying work at the state house as we do get a bit of state funding. We also have our annual family conference and retreat in Louisville, and we have a quarterly parent newsletter as well. Everything that we do is to support these families. As someone who has been through it, I can say with all honesty that VIPs changed our lives. They came in when we needed them the most. And I feel very lucky and grateful that I get to wake up every day and advocate for families like my own. And in doing so, you know, the main part of my job is raising awareness and critical funds to support the services that we provide. We're funded through grants. We have fundraisers. We do receive some First Steps reimbursement funding and state funding. We rely on individual donations, and we work with a lot of service clubs like Kiwanis Clubs and Lions Clubs and you know, all those philanthropic organizations that are so generous with their time and talent. And so we work hard to raise the funds so families don't have to take on more costs. A couple of our fundraisers, we have Walking for Dreams, which is always happens in May. Along the downtown canal. I would love to have more friends participate and join us at that. And then we also have a tactile art exhibition called Revision. And it was started because of Lola, essentially. I just, you know, would look at art and I would think, well, what could she get out of art if she couldn't touch it? And so I started doing research about blind art patrons and do people who are blind want to go to art museums and touch art? And, you know, of course they do. And so, you know, just seeing that there were pretty big discrepancies in access to art, we created this art exhibition that hosts Indiana artists, all mostly local here in Central and actually across the state. And the artwork is all tactile, or it has another sensory component where you don't need your vision or your eyesight to be able to participate. All of the The artist statements are in large print in Braille, and we have QR codes to add another layer of accessibility. It's a really neat, it's more of a fundraiser, and I think of a community, you know, just something good, nice to do in the community for people with all different abilities. So, and then finally, I just wanted to touch on that I'm actually given this presentation out of our new Family Resource Center, which is really exciting. We are, it's not open to the public yet. We just got the keys about a week ago. I'm sitting here with using my phone for internet and hoping it doesn't cut off at any point, but I am in our boardroom. This is amazing that I'm even, you know, able to do this here today. Our Family Resource Center is a long time coming. It was a space that, you know, Vips in Louisville had this wonderful kids town, and it had a sensory room, and it had a lending library and a sensory garden and all these things that my daughter didn't have access to here in Indiana. And so with that in the back of my mind, you know, I thought, well, you know, why don't kids here in Indiana have access to a place so special like Vips in Louisville? And so, with the help from a wonderful volunteer board and, a lot of patience and passion and, persistence, I will say, because we got told no a lot, we have been successful in raising the $2.5 million for our capital and operations campaign to build the Family Resource Center. In this resource center, we will do a lot of, you know, really supporting families as they, you know, start to navigate this journey and having a child who's blind or visually impaired. We'll have an adaptive playground, a sensory room, a toddler town that is currently under construction. It's specifically designed to meet curiosity and educational needs of children who are blind or visually impaired. We'll have two therapy rooms. One, we hope to have a two-year-old classroom at some point in the future, a teletherapy room, a sensory garden, and then expanded office space for our staff. This space, we were lucky to have won funding from generous donors like the Lilly Endowment and the, you know, other wonderful supporters. And we hope to be open this fall for families. We have a couple of areas we need to finish out still as far as the construction goes, but we're part of a very unique building actually called Line Lofts, which is a multifamily development that is designed to meet the needs of low-income seniors and adults with visual impairments. So this, we have the 6,300 square foot space, but then there are also 63 units of living space, apartments that are all designed with people who are blind or visually impaired in mind. So what does that mean? They took real simple, you know, changes that are universal for all to make it more accessible. So tactile markings on the, you know, outside on the sidewalks, no low hanging branches, you know, going into the space itself, there are tactile markers on the floor so that someone who is blind or visually impaired would know how many before they got to their apartment. There are large, you know, oversized elevator buttons, clean lines in the hallways. Every unit is set up to have, you know, like Google Nest or Amazon Alexa so that you're not having so many different devices in order to access something as simple as what's the weather going to be like today. So real simple design changes that, you know, hopefully will make this a great, our dog washing station. I forgot about that. There's also, a Uber and Lyft parking spot so that, you know, you're not well having to go out and guess which parking, which car you're going to. So lots of really little features that have made it accessible for people who are blind. So 20% of those units are designated. If anyone is interested in learning more, you can definitely contact me and I can connect you with the WITSIT group. They're the ones that are the property owners and developer managers of that apartment complex. So I know I have talked a lot. I'm so sorry, but I just am passionate about what I do. And I love, you know, that when we have an audience that's, you know, learning more about the kids that we're serving and the families, because their education and their futures matter. And we want to make sure that they go on to, you know, reach their highest potential. Does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, if you want to have any questions, you can either state your name or raise your hand and we'll call on you. While we're waiting on that, do you have, you would give like the website or email address or phone number for folks to make that initial contact?
Sure. So our website is www.vips.org. My personal email address is M as in Meredith, H-O-W-E-L-L. At vips.org. And my cell phone number is actually the easiest way to get a hold of me. Corey Wills knows that. So it's 317-902-0931. We also are on social media and, you know, VIPS.org on like Twitter and say on Instagram and Facebook as well.
Great. Tammy, you have a question?
Yes, I'm sorry. I started talking and then I realized I should have raised my hand. I apologize. So I do have a question. So we do have in our organization, in the National Federation of the Blind, we do have a segment or what we call divisions of our group that is specifically for parents of blind children or blind parents. And although we haven't been very active, a lot of our issues has stemmed from parent involvement, getting parents excited about the group, that sort of thing. Do you all do any collaboration with organizations like us? Or would you be interested in talking about, you know, how we could help you or how you could help us to just get to know some of these? I know there's privacy and all of that, but is it possible to, you know, introduce us to them and them to us with these families?
Absolutely. We would love that. And, you know, we always like to give families an opportunity to say yes or no. And I mean, what a great resource. And if it's something that they want to take advantage of, then we want to, you know, give them the opportunity to do so. So I would absolutely love to talk offline and learn more about it so we can collaborate. For sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Anyone else? It's a small group. You wanted to state your name and your question?
This is Abby. Am I unmuted, Michael?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Hello, Meredith, and thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. I'm very interested, but I might have a question that some people might think is silly. But I didn't have a toddler town when I was a kid. Can big people look at it?
Definitely.
And so, check it out, because that sounds awesome.
Yes, definitely. I don't want people to have to say that much longer. And that's the whole point. You know, I want it to be where it's a space where it's like, yeah, I had all these things in place and, you know, and my parents did have the support. And so Toddler Town is really neat. It'll have an orientation and mobility track. It will have like a gear state changing station. It'll have light tables in the floor for kids that are immobile or, you know, babies. We'll have light boxes that are wheelchair accessible, a big mirror wall for like kids that have CVI love mirrors, a crawl space for little babies, and a big, you know, large little reading nook and all sorts of great little things that, you know, it's just, I remember taking Lola to places like the Children's Museum, and they had that great crawl space for kids that, you know, are babies. But my daughter was three and she wasn't walking yet. And we needed to use a space like that because she wasn't able to participate in a different way. And so for families to be able to have a space that we can just go and you know, let our kids roll around if that's what they need to do, or, you know, whatever means possible, I'm excited. So you can definitely come check it out.
Diane.
And Diane has her hand raised.
Yes. This is Diane Graves, and I just want to thank you so much for coming today. I want to let you know that this has been absolutely amazing. I particularly perked up when you started talking about making art accessible and things like that. I remember as a child taking field trips to museums and different things like that. And you know, the teachers might describe what they saw or, you know, something like that, but it wasn't the same. It was so boring to me. And so I think it's really exciting that kids are now getting to actually take part and actually get a hands-on experience with the different, you know, art type features and all of these other things. I think it's really amazing. I really appreciate your vision and moving forward with it. I think it's wonderful. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. And I'll make sure to, you know, I don't know if you want to sign up for our, like our newsletter online, or you can email me directly, but I can, would love to send you the information about when Revision is hosted again, because it's usually up for about 2 months. And so you can come and go, and it's free. And so you'll definitely have to come when we have our next revision.
Oh, that would be awesome. I would love that. I also want to hear a little bit more about your fundraiser, the Walk for Dreams. What is that exactly? How does that work?
Yeah, so it's Walking for Dreams is about a 3-ish K that takes place in downtown Indianapolis along the canal. And it is we're, you know, a smaller nonprofit. And so we, you know, can't really afford to have like those big fancy races and stuff. And so this is a great way for us to pay a small fee, and then we get to just participate and raise the funds. And we have sponsors, and for us, it's a lot of, I try to make it a lot of fun. We have Papa John's that donates pizza, and we have door prizes, and you just walk along the canal. It's, I've, you know, Corey and Barb and, you know, plenty of people with visual impairments and blindness have come and been successful, you know, and so we would love to have you participate or sign. You can always donate as well. So.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
It's wonderful to have you here today.
Thank you.
Ready to final comments from Meredith or Tammy?
Oh, I just wanted to say, you know, thank you again for elevating our mission and, you know, giving me the opportunity to be here today. I feel really honored. So I appreciate it.
We just want to really thank you, Meredith, for your time. This has been very informative in many ways. It's been exciting to get to know about this program. And we thank you so much for coming and for participating in our convention. And we invite you to feel free to participate tomorrow. Same link, same place. If you don't have the agenda, we can certainly send that to you. And we'd love to have you be a kind of learn more about our organization as well. Thank you so much.
Oh, great. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.